It is a great privilege for me and Carmen to be here today.
As I go through this presentation, I'm
you're good?
Okay. So like I said, it's a great privilege for us to be here. It feels like we know some of you, most of you, and it's a great connection that we have with Ben and Becky and Phil and Twyla. So it felt right to come and share with you all what God is doing in Los Angeles. And before I start the presentation, I just want to make it clear that if you're in, how can I say this? If you're here to see a little bit of what we are doing in Los Angeles, you're going to leave probably bored or something like that. But the purpose of this presentation is that I really want to just give you a small glimpse of what God is doing, because that's all that matters, really. So I want to give you a glimpse of what God is doing in Los Angeles, and through that, it seems like me and Carmen are just a really small part. God says do this, we try to listen to His Spirit and go, and I know you as a church, just interacting with you a little bit, I can tell that the Spirit is here. The Spirit is alive, and where the Spirit is, there's liberty, there's freedom, and there's a bond that you can feel when you're with Spirit-filled people. So I'm very excited to be here, and like I said, the reason I'm excited is because I want to show you a little bit of what God is doing in Los Angeles. I want to give you a picture in the beginning here. I'm going to outline a little bit of the presentation here for you. Is in the beginning, I want to show you a little bit, what is Los Angeles? I don't know how many people have been to Los Angeles, California. I don't know if you have any idea how it looks or anything like that. So I want to just give you a little picture of Los Angeles and what the kind of city is that we live in. In the middle, I'm going to share with you some testimonies and contacts that we have made in Los Angeles that have just been life-changing for me and Carmen. And halfway through, I'm going to let Carmen come up here and just share a little bit of a story of a contact that she has made. So the picture on the left here is a picture from Griffith Mountain, which is not far at all from probably just a couple miles from our house, and it's a view over the city, and it's a picture that I love, because I look at that and I look at the lights and I think of all the people in a city. And as you know the verse in Matthew 5:14-16, the verse that I want to point out to you is at the bottom: let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That's one of the goals that me and Carmen have for Los Angeles. Am I blocking anybody? We're good? Okay, excellent. Okay, I'm going to give you a little picture. Where's Los Angeles, California? Southern California is where it's located. In fact, we're about 2 hours from San Diego. San Diego is on the border of California, and which would be Mexico. So we're definitely in Southern California. It's warm. It's beautiful, we love it, but it is the desert. So one interesting fact that not many people know about Los Angeles is Reno, Nevada is actually farther west than Los Angeles is. So we're not as far west as what you might think we are. As you can see, Southern California dips in quite a bit. Here's a close-up map of Los Angeles. And I want to just show you this map to just give you a little bit of an idea. When you think of a city on the West Coast, it's not like Philadelphia or New York City. In fact, it's completely different. It's quite a bit more spread out. From the forest at the top to about Long Beach, we have 30 miles. And then from Santa Monica out to San Bernardino is around 75 miles. It just gives you a picture of how spread out the city really is. If you ever fly into Los Angeles, the airport's going to be located right along the coast here. In fact, the Los Angeles International Airport is. And as you fly in, you come over the mountains, and before you know it, Right when you get over the mountains, you got about 75 miles to the airport, but you're seeing city already. So it's a very wide, spread out city. A lot of people, when they hear that we moved to California, they think we're about to fall off the coast. And a lot of people think of California, they think of earthquakes. There is quite a bit of earthquakes in California, but to be honest with you, me and Carmen are yet to feel one, serious anyway. This is just a small map giving you an idea of the hundreds of earthquakes that occur in a week in California. The bigger the size of the block, the bigger the magnitude, of course. We would be right in this general area, which is not, seems to be a little bit of a lull in between the earthquakes. Let me give you a quick couple demographics of Los Angeles. Los Angeles has the Los Angeles City has a population of around 4 million people. Los Angeles County has around 9.8 million, which is going to be a little bigger area. And then the map that I showed earlier of the 30 miles by 75 is considered the greater Los Angeles area with roughly 17 million people. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Pennsylvania has around 13 or 14 million, am I right? 13? Okay. So the greater Los Angeles area has roughly around 17 million, just to kind of give you an idea what we're looking at. I'm going to give you a couple quick facts, and I'm going to move through these a little quickly so we have time later on. Despite its image of an oasis, we're really in the desert with an annual rainfall of only 15 inches. If you want to come to get a suntan, you know where to go. Los Angeles has 325 days of sunshine a year. Port of LA is the busiest in the U.S., U.S. and one of the busiest in the world. Average temperature in December is around 68 degrees. I'm not saying this so you get jealous. I just want to fill you in. Okay. This is an interesting statistic that I didn't know before. Is around 5 million cars registered in LA County, and I know Los Angeles is known for a lot of the traffic. I don't know if you're following the news, and there's a Carmageddon 2 going on right now, and we're very glad to be here instead of out there. It's home to the largest populations of Japanese, Iranians, Cambodians, largest Asian population in the United States, and there's actually more Armenians in LA than in the country of Armenia itself. That's just another interesting. Okay, Los Angeles, real life opportunities and discipleship is the name of the ministry that we work for out there. And I just want to give you a couple pictures of the DNI team that is out there. Ernest and Rachel Whitmer is our pastor. Ernest is our pastor. I guess Rachel is not our pastor. Ernest and Rachel Whitmer. Their daughter, Carita Marcel, which recently got married. That's one of the reasons we're in right now. Asher, Christy, and then Christopher. You know me and Carmen, we're here this morning. And then Sam and Bonnie Kurtz from Hartwell, Georgia. Well, I should have told you, Ernest and Rachel were originally from International Falls, Minnesota. And Sam and Bonnie Kurtz were from Hartwell, Georgia. I want to give you just a couple, I just want to give you a vision of why are we out there? What is our goals in being in Los Angeles as a DNI team? And the reason I have that as number one is because as a DNI team, we're trying to fit all our goals into church planting. House church planting is the main reason we are out there. And so I list some other reasons here of what really goes along with house church planting. Street witnessing. We do in-home Bible studies, evening Bible camp. I don't know if you've heard of the evening Bible camp before, but where youth come from all around the country, really, and we have 2 weeks of Bible camp with kids. Kids Club is kind of a spin-off of the evening Bible camp. Track distribution, life skills training, abuse care conversations, youth group facilitation, and choice books. I'm not involved in choice books a whole lot, but that is going on out in Los Angeles. Here's our house. This is a picture of one of the first pictures we took of our home. And also wanted to fill you in on our landlords. Conrado and Maria have been just a tremendous blessing to us. They have really felt like parents to us in a way as we've been out there. I don't know what you hear through DNI, but if you've been praying for me and my friend Ruben, Ruben is a man that I met at evening Bible camp, and that would have been last year's evening Bible camp. I walked up to him and saw his children were in the Bible camp, and I just started a casual conversation with him, and we eventually got invited to his place as a group there, and we had a little pizza party. And I sat down and I asked him if he'd be interested in starting a Bible study sometime. And he was very interested in that. And it's been almost a year and a half now since I met Ruben. And pray for Ruben. He's currently in jail in a state prison for some domestic violence. And pray that God would work. I see the hand of God working in Ruben's life in an incredible way. When the first time I heard he went to jail, my heart sunk. But really, just seeing where he's at now, and really seeing how he's digging into the Word, and he has more time than ever to read the Word, to pray, and he has committed himself to Christ a couple times, and so. Me and Carmen are really just excited to see where Carmen is. Ruben also has a couple children, Shane, Jade, and Sky, or Yasmin actually. And these kids have really come to mean everything to me and Carmen. And please pray for them also. Pray for their protection right now. They are their mom is. Is struggling also with a lot of alcohol and drugs, and it's hard when you know the father's in prison, the mother's struggling. It breaks our heart, really. Try to get together with them a couple times a week if we can. Salvador is a man that Ernest and Rachel and the family have met. And this was a number of years ago that they made the connection with Salvador. He just recently accepted Christ, and this is just an amazing testimony to me of Ernest just lovingly coming alongside this brother and instructing him and edifying and not really, not pushing salvation, but, just standing alongside him as a good friend and loving Salvador. This would be Salvador's wife, Juana, and then Rachel on the right. This is Carmen and Mariana, and this is the story that I'm just going to have Carmen come up and share a couple words on. Mariana has meant quite a lot to Carmen, so I'm just going to let her share this story with you all. There you go.
I just wish I could portray the miracle that smile is on her. It's beautiful. She's just a testimony to what God has done in her life. We met this year at evening Bible camp. She brought her daughter. She was really excited. She saw our flyers we had passed out, and she called Ernest and made sure that she was able to come. Her daughter came every night. And then after evening Bible camp, we just made the connection, and we meet regularly every Friday morning. Jared and I are just blessed to be able to be a part of this. She talked for a couple hours one day, and she has, you pretty much name it, sexual abuse, physical abuse, it's a miracle she's alive and that she's smiling and knows that God has been there every step of the way with her. Through all those hard times. But we, every Friday morning, we meet at our house and with Ernest and Rachel. And it's just been so cool for Jared and I to be able to sit there and just listen to Ernest, ask him, the key questions on how to pull her in and rein her in a little bit and just help her and walk with her through this time. So it's been a learning experience for Jared and I to be able to do that with Ernest and Rachel. I know you guys have Kids Club here, and this is maybe just an encouragement to you as you minister to kids. Most times you might not see your kids at this age. She's 40s or 50s. So most likely you might not get the blessing to see your kids at this age with a story like she has. But the reason she's where she's at is her neighbor lady took an interest in her and her brother and took them to church, and that's how she heard about God. And so we're getting to reap the benefits of the hard work from other people. And so it's because I know she's been an encouragement for me for the Kids Club there to keep plugging on, because we might not see the outcome of the kids' lives, but someone else will. And she's a blessing to people and us. She's just been an answer to prayer for me, too. I wanted a friend when I moved. And, yeah, so.
Thank you. It's been, like she said, quite a blessing to see that friend. It's been a blessing for me, too, because I've prayed for a friend to come alongside Carmen, because it felt like Reuben has been a real close for me, the brother that I showed before. And Mariana has really come to mean a lot to Carmen. This is Reuben's mother, Lilia, which we have quite a bit of contact with also. This is another friendship that has just developed in an incredible way since Reuben has gone to jail. And I see God working again in a situation like this where I'm going to show you a slide a little later, just the impact that one soul, reaching one soul, how God orchestrates many contacts through there. Evening Bible camp, like I said on our vision slide, is one of the ministries that we have out there. We are very blessed by the youth that have come and participated in that. I think I have another picture of that. There we go. Crafts, Bible stories, games, a lot of fun. We have a really good time with a lot of these children. And our goal this year was in all of that too, is connecting with the parents. And so we had a nice tent beside our big tent. This was the big tent that we're in here. But we had a little small tent beside, and I didn't get a picture of this, where we showed the Jesus movie every night that the Bible camp was going on. And I was just blessed by all the parents that would come and just sit in and watch the Jesus film. Do you remember the numbers? I believe it was 15 adults that gave their lives to Christ during the Bible camp. It was just an incredible, and it seems like a lot of weight and pressure on us as a D&I team. I shouldn't say weight and pressure, that sounds bad, because it is really a tremendous privilege too. But it's a lot of responsibility for us as a team when this staff goes home and, 15 souls accepted Christ, and that's just the beginning. And so as a team, we're trying to do follow-up contacts, Bible studies, that type of thing. Praise God that is happening. So Daniela Grace was a daughter that we buried December 21st of 2011. That would have been last year. I don't know how many of you all knew that or not. It was probably the hardest time for me and Carmen as a couple. And in this too, God is faithful. God is a God of grace, and it's incredible that we long to teach this little child about God, and yet it's incredible that to us in her short lifetime, how much she really taught us about about God and life, really. Jose and Edward are two brothers that we recently had baptisms for. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16. This is just an exciting thing for me, because with baptism means growth. And, excuse me.
It's exciting because, yeah, baptism means growth. The church is growing. In fact, our small little house church that we meet at is 40, 50 people. As a team, we're trying to come together and figure out the best way of starting another house church. What does this look like? What is the Spirit leading us to do? And just these two brothers, Jose and Edward, pray for both of them. They have stories that I could spend hours on, really. But pray for Jose and Edward both as they grow in their walk. One interesting thing that we like to do as a D&I team is foot spas. And this came from our pastor, Ernest. He had an idea. Let me just tell you, there's an estimated around 43 homeless in Skid Row. This is Skid Row where we are doing the foot spas. So Ernest had this idea of foot spas instead of passing out tracts. The homeless on Skid Row are just bombarded weekly, really, by people that go through and pass out tracts. And I'm not saying passing out tracts is a bad thing, but for these people, tracts really turn them off. Because they are faced with so many tracks. And so Ernest had this idea that, instead of going down there and passing out tracks, let's just go down there and serve. And I was blessed by that. We meet as a team every now and then. We go down there, take a bunch of buckets of water and washcloths, detergent, lotion, all that, and get down there and scrub the feet of the homeless. And I I've been amazed just how this has opened doors to contacts down on Skid Row. We go down there, and there's a couple contacts that run up to us, know what we're there for, and it's just a tremendous door that God has opened to ministry and the gospel. I want to give you just a sneak peek of some upcoming projects here, and this is, like I said, it's upcoming. It's not actually been used yet or anything like that, but we recently purchased a prayer stand, and the idea of a prayer stand is you can hold Bibles, tracts, literature, and set it up really wherever. It collapses into a nice little bag. And you take it, you set it up on a street corner or anything like that. And the idea is to ask people what you can pray for. Pray for, whatever is going on in their lives. How can I pray for you today? And I have used a prayer stand in other situations. I have never used this one. But I've been amazed how using prayer, how people are blessed by that, how they open their lives to you, and ultimately you can transition into the gospel. And so we are very excited about this. This just arrived maybe a week or two before we were able to come for the wedding. So we are very excited about that. The other thing I'm very excited about, and maybe I should just do a little... Add a little note here, is if you ever have any design work that needs to be done, Ben and Becky Peters are excellent, or Becky Peters, I guess you could say, does excellent design work. She did this here. This is a little brochure that I'm excited about passing out in the community right around us. And I've been trying to figure out the best way of impacting or reaching the neighbors just directly around us. And so Becky had this little brochure printed up for me. This is the front, and then the back lists a couple questions that I did a little bit of research on to try to trigger what kind of questions people are thinking of or asking right in our community. So I'm excited about this. Pray about this, because It excites me and it scares me to death, to be honest, to walk door to door and hand out these things, because, I'm human, I guess, but the community that we're in and is very closed, I guess you could say. It's very gated. Some houses you have to walk or you have to get through two gates to get to the front door. And so it scares me to go around door to door and hand something like this out. I'm excited about it. I'm excited to see what God is doing. So pray for us as we venture out on that. The reason I show this slide is because I really want it to be an encouragement to you to meet people where they're at, to take them under your wing, and don't ever feel that in church planning, we're all church planners, right? It's not just us in Los Angeles. We're all church planners. And so, to me, the idea of church planning looks big sometimes. And then I think back on Reuben, and I just think of what God has done and opened doors. Reuben, like I said, is the man that I met at evening Bible camp. Yami would be Reuben's girlfriend. Shane, Jade, and Yasmin are Reuben and Yami's children. Lilia would be Reuben's mother. Richard is Reuben's father. Ray would be Reuben's brother. Ben is a friend of Reuben. Armando is another brother. Sue is a cousin to Lilia. Kathy, Gloria is friends of Reuben and Yami. And Brenda, Isabella is a couple children at evening Bible camp, and Luis is another friend, and really the list could go on and on. Like I said, I want to show you just a picture of what God can do in one person, and how much time you can, excuse me, if you invest a little bit of time in one person. We all do it. We all invest time in people. So be encouraged that a little bit of time God can use to really bring a lot of contacts into your way. A lot of people that need love, need encouragement, need the gospel, need Jesus in their lives. And this has blessed me. I'm not showing this all saying they've all come to Christ. That's not my point. I'm showing this to show you how God uses one person and how he can reach, and he has networks. And may I encourage you too as a church. Church growth can be frustrating to me sometimes, and church growth is the kind of thing that can be frustrating. And then I look at something like this, and I look how God has worked in one life and all the contacts. It encourages me to keep going. I want to share a little bit to you all from the Word this morning, and This isn't going to be more than 10 or 15 minutes, depends how long-winded I get. But I want to show you just a little area on what God has been teaching me. And I encourage you to, if you have never heard of Spiritual Warfare for Every Christian by Dean Sherman. Has anybody heard of that? Spiritual Warfare by Dean Sherman for Every Christian, or Spiritual Warfare for Every Christian by Dean Sherman, there. I encourage you to watch it. It's just an excellent DVD series on spiritual warfare. It's taught me quite a bit. I believe you can get it at YWAM for, it is quite a bit. I believe it's around $100, but it's definitely worth the money. I want to show you a little bit of what God is teaching me. Me and Carmen are going through this, and he brings out in that, he does a study of gates. And if you have never studied the word gates or the word door in the Old and New Testament, do it. It's fascinating. I've done a little bit of it, not extensive as what he has done. But often the word gates or the word door indicates a human choice. Each one of us has gates in our lives. Where as a human, you have choice. And so the gates if you take the word gate or door in the Bible, often you can really see the human choices that are made. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. the other verse that I thought of too, Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, opens the door, I will come to him and eat with him and he with me." It's a choice we have to make. If you're a Christian, you have made the choice to follow Christ. You have opened your gate to Jesus. And so think of this this block in the middle here as your gate, as human choices. And this really can be individual. This can be your gate. Or I think it's important, too, to think of it as corporate. I believe as a pastor, you have influence over the congregation. The choices you make affect more than just you. It affects the congregation. As the mayor of a city or as the governor of a state, President Obama has more influence over people than what I do. So think of the gates and think of it as a human choice. Now, as humans, and as humans that have the choice to, you can make decisions, follow Christ or not. You have influences on your gate. And I'm just going to bring out a couple different influences. Of course, we know God influences our gate. In what ways has God influenced your gate? Have you ever been convicted by God? Has God ever revealed things to you? God is influencing your gate. He's not pushing you. Remember that. It's still choice. Have you ever been convicted to God and said no? I think we all have been there. So remember that it's not... Just because he's influencing you doesn't mean he's forcing you. Of course, we have God and then we have the devil. What does the devil do to influence our gate? Well, he deceives and he tempts. Have you ever been tempted from the devil? Well, that's a no-brainer. We all have been tempted. We all have been deceived by the devil. Now, I'm just going to stop right here. And for many years of my life, this is how I lived. Right here, and I just hoped God would convict and reveal to me more than the devil tempts and deceives, and hopefully, I'll be a victorious Christian and that type of thing. But I think there's another aspect in all this that we miss if we're not careful. And there's a verse that I want to bring out in Matthew 16. Matthew 16, 18, and 19 says, "And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." I look at this and I see tremendous responsibility and tremendous power. And the other thing that I want to mention here that's influencing the gate is the church. And I know for so many years of my life, I just thought of it as this right here. And I didn't really see the part that the church has in influencing the gate. Prayer has been talked about already this morning. And that's, prayer is the kind of thing that I know I never pray enough, right? You never get to the point where you say, well, I pray enough. And let's maybe I can cut it back a little bit. But prayer is just a tremendous way of influencing the gate. How does prayer work? Prayer comes from God, right? God reveals things through his Spirit, how we can pray. And prayer goes right back up to God, and God convicts and reveals in whatever way he sees fit. As a church, it's a responsibility to pray. And if you don't let that burden you. Let it burden you. I guess that's not the right word. Don't get too scared, because if you try to pray too hard, too much, it might only last a week. But I believe really what prayer is when we realize who we are in Christ as the church. And our position in Christ, our identity in Christ, that's when prayer becomes a habit. It becomes natural more than anything. One of the main things I believe is the church is cutting off the enemy in Jesus' name, and I feel that this is one thing that God is slowly teaching me of, because doesn't this look beautiful, of the church praying, God convicting and revealing, and the devil having nothing to do with it? It's a beautiful picture. And as the church, God has given us the authority in Jesus' name to rise up and cut off the enemy. preach. We're supposed to preach. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. It's part of the responsibilities of the church. And love and service. I don't think we ever have any idea what loving and caring for people, coming alongside people when they're down and out, what that does as the church. So, like I said, there's a couple things that I think of when I see all this, and I think of the tremendous power that Jesus has given to the church, and Jesus hasn't given the church power for us to stand back and enjoy the show, I guess you could say, of hopefully God and the devil duking it out, but we have a part to play in this. God has given us power for a reason. And just the tremendous responsibility that I see in something like this as the church, to pray, to cut off the enemy in Jesus' name, to preach and love and service. It seems like God is just really stressing to me more and more prayer. And, you know, prayer is the kind of thing that so often in my own life, I prayed very general prayers. God move, God convict, God reveal. And by that, I don't mean that convicting and revealing, we shouldn't pray. But I think the more specific we pray, the more faith we're really using, right? The more specific you pray, the more faith you use and you exercise. And so instead of me praying that God convicts and moves and reveals in a broad way, God convict this town. You know, notice strongholds in your community. See if you can pick out strongholds. Research, do history. Dig in and see the history of your community and see what specific strongholds the devil has. And then, you know, pray. Cut them off in Jesus' name. And I guarantee you, I just feel like maybe I should share one more story here. I guarantee you it works. It's God's power. This isn't human power. This is God's power that He has given to the church. You ever think about it when I'm sure you all have had it as a church where you see two people out in the world sinning, and you specifically pray for one of these people that you know of. Isn't it incredible to see God convicting, revealing things to them? And the other person is over here doing the exact same thing. They're together. They're both doing the same thing. You as a church rally around the one, pray for them, cut off Satan in Jesus' name, and claim that person. And here they're both doing the exact same thing, and the one out there is convicted. It's power. It's power in Jesus' name that we as the church have. It's our responsibility that we rise up and take that. Just in closing, I'm going to leave it open for a couple questions then, but in closing, I want to give you a couple prayer requests that we have, and these might sound like general prayer requests. Here I went and told you that you shouldn't just pray general prayers, you should pray specific prayers. The Spirit can lead you to more specific prayers, I guess you can say, as you pray for our community. Maybe I can just give you a couple specifics. And it is for the brochures that we have. It feels like that's one of my to-do lists as I get back to our community. We leave on Tuesday of this week. And one of my top priorities this week is to get them brochures out in our community. And so pray that our community is open, receptive, and pray that I could just have some really good contacts in the community. Pray for the contacts we have made. I showed you pictures of those. But continue to pray for them. Reuben, Lilia, Mariana, these are people that God has laid on our hearts, and it feels like it's a responsibility for me and Carmen to come alongside them and lead them closer to Jesus. Pray that God's kingdom would grow in LA. That's really just the heart and soul of what we want to happen in Los Angeles is, you know, we're only there for how long? If God leads us to stay there the rest of our lives, we're more than okay with that. But really, if we're there another 50, 60 years. Who knows? God's kingdom might go a lot longer than that. Well, we know it's going to go a lot longer than that. But pray that his kingdom would grow, and pray that we could come alongside God's kingdom rather than really stressing our own agenda. Kids Club, like I said before, is kind of a spinoff of the evening Bible camp. Pray for that. It seems like a new, it seems very new to all of us right now. And so please pray that the Kids Club continues to grow and as we interact with them, children. We're very excited to be working on becoming foster parents. And so pray as we go through the work. We just started. We're about a month and a half or so, month maybe into it, paperwork and that type of thing. So we're very, very excited about God opening this door up in Los Angeles. I don't know if any of you heard of this, but there's a statistic that we just heard that there's 100 children every day that go into the LA or the foster care system in LA County. Every day, over 100 children are going into this foster care system. And the LA County would be around the 9.8 million. But it's just, we didn't even know that statistic before we started. The lady came to us, did a house visit, shared that statistic with us. And you know, we knew God was laying on that on our hearts already. But hearing something like this just makes us want to dive into it more. So pray for us as we look into that. It's just been a tremendous blessing to be here. Thank you for the opportunity to come and share.